We're learning Lashot Aran. We're up to the 12th speech, page Taf Samech Zayin, in the Masadar of Kuka edition. The Ran had said that our responsibility to adhere to rabbinic institutions stems from the verse Acharei Rabim Le'atot, go by the majority opinion. Ve'im tishal v'tomar. If you'll ask me, says the Ran, im ken lama shenitztavinu, if our responsibility to adhere to the rabbinic institutions stems from that verse, how did the Talmud tell us that in the name of human dignity we will override a rabbinic institution? The Talmud over there says human dignity is so important it overrides a prohibition of Torah. Rav Bar Shiva, who was a disciple of Rav Kahana, he said what that means is the commandment to listen to the rabbis, we overrule that in the name of human dignity. So in Israel, they laughed at what he said. They said, that's not biblical. And Rav Kahana said, he's a big person. If he said it, don't laugh at what he said. Everything the rabbis instituted is reliant on this commandment, to adhere to their command, to their directives. And the rabbis themselves said that where it conflicts with human dignity, they forgo their institution. But he's right in what he said. So the Ran says, I had said, says the Ran, that our responsibility to adhere to rabbinic institution stems from the commandment, go by the majority opinion. The Talmud over there says, the responsibility to adhere to rabbinic commandments stems from the prohibition. The Torah says, do not veer from what the rabbis say. Those are two different verses. Which one's the source? Why didn't the Talmud say you must adhere to rabbinic institutions because of the verse that says go by the majority opinion? So says the Ran, here's the answer. We have two areas where we're responsible to listen to the rabbis, meaning the high court, the Sanhedrin. The commandment to listen to rabbis is a commandment to listen to the Sanhedrin. When you have a high court, the Torah commands you listen to them. How so? Number one, mima shebi'aru b'dinei Torah. When the high court tells you this is what the Torah means, they interpret the Torah. Torah tells you where your tefillin between your eyes. The rabbis say our tradition is don't put it on the bridge of your nose. However, do put it on your forehead above the bridge of your nose, where you're still growing hair. So they interpreted the Torah. They had a tradition, but they interpreted the Torah. So now a guy's going to walk into shul and where's tefillin on the bridge of his nose? Wrong. Torah said, adhere to how the Sanhedrin interprets the Torah. Sheni. The second angle where we're responsible to listen to the high court is Mikol Gedo V'Takana Shiasu. When they make a rabbinic institution, the rabbi said, if we continue allowing people to eat chicken with milk, then people will end up eating beef with milk. In people's minds, it's all meat. They don't see the difference. So the rabbis made an institution over 2,000 years ago. The rabbi said, we treat chicken like meat, even though what the Torah forbade is animal meat with milk. The rabbi said, fowl is fowl. You can't eat chicken with milk either. So the rabbis made rabbinic institutions and rabbinic prohibitions. Says the Ran, these are two areas that are given over to the high court. Number one, the interpretation of Torah. Number two, rabbinic institutions. Then the Torah says, you're still responsible in future generations to adhere to the Torah the way the rabbis of the future generations interpret the Torah. And that's what's encompassed when the Torah says, Acharei Rabim Le'atot, go by the majority opinion. Ach me'agdarim v'atakanot she'asu lo nitztavinu b'heim me'acharei Rabim Le'atot. But the commandment, go by the majority opinion, does not obligate us for future generations to adhere to their institutions. When the Torah says go by the majority opinion, the Torah is not telling you anything in regards to rabbinic prohibitions. It's not discussing that. It's discussing the interpretation of Torah. When we read Torah, we want to understand the Torah. The rabbis will sometimes have a discussion. They'll come to a conclusion what the Torah means. What is this prohibition? We have to adhere it in accordance with their ruling. What about the rabbinic prohibitions, the rabbinic institutions? There, that's not under this heading. Here the rabbi said, you know how the Torah commanded you not to veer off of what the high court tells you? By the same token, the Torah meant future generations as well. But that's an asmachta. The rabbis are telling you, you can see the Torah, this is what the Torah wanted. Just as the Torah told you in the days of a Sanhedrin, the Torah wants a leadership that defines Torah for us and that will guide us so we don't end up transgressing the Torah. The rabbi said, we borrow the concept. It's not that the Torah obligated it, but our ability to make rabbinic prohibitions in future generations is a borrowed concept from the Sanhedrin. That's why the Talmud said that in areas of human dignity, the rabbi said, forgo our institution and respect human dignity. If a person is wearing a garment that is rabbinically prohibited, rabbinically it's shatnez. Biblically, that garment is permissible. Rabbinically, the rabbi said, that also falls under the heading of mixing wool and linen. So the rabbi said, if he's in public domain, don't take off that clothing. But he's transgressing every minute that he's wearing it, rabbinically. The rabbi said, in the name of human dignity, we forgo our institution. Wait. Okay, so coming back to here. So the Ran says, the whole concept that the leaders of the generation can make rabbinic prohibitions is reliant, it's an asmachta. It's supported by the concept of how a Sanhedrin can do it. And that's why the rabbi said, you want to know where we have power to make rabbinic prohibitions? Because the Torah said, don't veer from the path of the Sanhedrin. So we're borrowing that clause. We're leaning on that clause. He says, in our responsibility to hear their interpretation of Torah, they were obligated. That's what the Torah says, go by the majority opinion. However, in regards to the prohibition, not to veer off of what they said, that was only said about the high court. The later generations were reliant on that. It's an asmachta. From that they got their power. But it's not a biblical commandment. And we will expand on this as we go along, Be'ezrat Hashem. Yes?
What's the source of the human dignity?
It's a Gemara in Brachos. The concept that we take human dignity into account, we learned about in Parshat Emor. And also in our Parsha. In Parshat Emor, the Torah tells us that a Kohen may not become defiled for his relatives. Kohen Gadol. However, a Kohen Gadol is permitted to become defiled for the sake of a corpse that's not his relative, but is laying unattended. If he finds what's called a mate mitzvah, a deceased, where the mitzvah of taking care of him falls on everyone, where there's no relative or anyone around who's going to take care of that corpse, so the Torah says the Kohen Gadol defiles himself and deals with that corpse. So that, there we begin seeing the concept of human dignity. The body that's on the ground, the Kohen Gadol, who's supposed to be so careful not to become defiled, the Torah says, go deal with the body. So that's source number one. In our parsha, in regards to a nazir, the Torah again indicates, when the Torah breaks down how a nazir has to be pure, the Torah gives many details. The Torah says the nazir may not become defiled for his mother, for his father, for his sister, for his brother. So our sages said, why did the Torah break it down? The Torah could have just said the heading, don't become defiled to a relative. So our sages had a tradition that the Torah was saying, don't become defiled to a parent, but do become defiled to a corpse that's unattended. Why does it delineate father and mother? The father was to tell him, go deal with the corpse if there's no one else to deal. Why does it say mother? To tell him, even if you're a Nazir plus a Kohen. So you have two prohibitions. Still, the Torah told you, don't deal with your own mother. Let other people deal with the mother's burial. But if there's a corpse that has no one to attend to it, even though he's a Nazir and a Kohen, he should deal with it. Why does it say a brother? So the Talmud says that's to tell you, only his brother he shouldn't deal with. But if there's a corpse that's unattended, then he should deal with it, even if he's a Nazir, and he's not a regular Kohen, he's the Kohen Gadol. He still has to. He has two holinesses on him, right? The Kohen Gadol and the Nazir. He still has to deal. Why does it say his sister? Oh, so there the Talmud says, okay, I got nothing left, right? He's the holiest person around. He's Kohen Gadol and Nazir. I already said he has to defile himself for that. So there the Torah says, that's to teach you if you're going to do a different mitzvah. A person is going to circumcise his son. A person is going to bring the paschal offering. And he sees a corpse on the side of the road, and there's no one around to deal with it. And if he goes to deal with it, he's going to miss his son's circumcision. His son won't be circumcised before Yom Tov. He's going to miss the paschal offering. He's going to be defiled. Says the Torah, in the name of human dignity, deal. So the concept that human dignity has value in the Torah, we learn in this week's Parsha from the laws of Nazir, and in Parshat Emor from the laws of the Kohen and Kohen Gadol. Now we take that concept and we apply it to rabbinic laws. That's the Talmud and Tractate Brachos.